This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Vision of God for your life is coming alive. It's a good thing when the lines are falling onto you in good places, in pleasant places, you know. And it's always a good thing for you to know why you are doing what you are doing, so that when you begin to succeed, you can give glory to God. Many people are confused about their assignments in life, and they mentally judge themselves as failures. Why don't you look at your neighbor and say, you are not a failure. Just keep on trying. God will lead you. God will help you in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, the Redeemed Christian Church of God, our mantra is church planting. That is why somebody in Austin will receive a word from the Lord and come to San Antonio, not knowing anybody, and come to plant a church. Not having a pastor, but just believing God. And come to San Antonio to plant a church. And the church is the church you are seated in right now. One way or another, God brought his pastor for his church. And one way or another, God began to gather the people. And some of the people are still here. Brother Debo, Sister Kweju, Deaconess April, they were all the people that God brought by himself. I myself, my wife saw a flyer that the church was starting, and she brought it to church. And that's how we came to church on the first day of service. Amen. So in the Redeemed Christian Church of God, the assignment God has given us is for us to do evangelism by church planting. We take the church closer to the people, and you can impact the people in that neighborhood for our Lord Jesus Christ. And in moving along with that vision, we went to Corpus Christi yesterday. No excitement at all. Even the people that went, they are looking at me as worst pastor talking neighbor. That's where you go, woo! Try it. Okay. So, we were in Corpus Christi yesterday, moving. Aha! Amen. Amen. It was a really glorious service. Really glorious service. I'm picking my words because I don't want to offend anybody. But that service yesterday, I was very happy about it. Let me just put it like that. 100% satisfied with that service yesterday. God moved. It was a glorious time in God's presence. And for those of you that were not able to make it, don't feel bad. Don't worry. God understands. Amen. And I understand too. You know, I know we have schedules and all of these things, but God is helping us, and the church is already making a significant impact in Corpus Christi already. They have, praise the Lord. They have a hall of their own. They graduated almost 20 workers yesterday. Oh, yeah, almost 20 workers already, you know. And God helped us. We were able to raise money for them to buy a van. We raised over $10,000. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And while we are talking about that, there is still room. There's room in the inn. This is not like when Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem, they said there's no room in the inn. You know, there's still room in the inn. If you are interested in supporting the vision, it's a fertile ground to sow in. You know, let me know. You know, and I will hook you up on how you can be a blessing and be blessed. Amen. Amen. So this morning, we're looking into the word of life. Father, I pray that you will open our eyes of understanding to see great mysteries today in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You know, a lot of us, whether consciously or unconsciously, when we come to church, we expect to be excited. And that's okay. But I remember some years not too distant from now, that you go to church and your heart is like there's a wrenching of the heart because there was something you heard that convicted you. Today, if that happens, people get mad at the preacher that was preaching about them. Amarachi, good to see you. That's our latest bride. Hallelujah. You're looking radiant. It's good to be married. Amen. Amen. You know, so for many of us, you know, so back in those days, you go and it's a heart-wrenching thing that happens to you. You know, but today, if that happens, people will say, oh, the pastor was talking about me. Or maybe it's because he knows my situation, he was speaking the way he was speaking. I want you to open your heart to the Lord today, and I want you to receive the word of the Lord. If it excites you, praise the Lord. If it doesn't, just take it and run with it. The Lord will help you. The Lord will help me in Jesus' name. This morning, what I'd like to talk about is what I've titled Keys to Resurgence. Keys to Resurgence. We've been talking about resurgence. And I've told us resurgence is a very simple word. You know, it sounds like a big word, but it really isn't. A resurgence is like a revival. A resurgence is like a resurrection. A resurgence is like a restoration. That is what he's talking about. And I've defined it for us that a resurgence is like something was happening, there was an interruption, and now it is happening all over again. And we have looked at the life of Joseph. His life was headed in a beautiful place, and there was a sudden interruption in his life. And it seemed like his life was over, but suddenly there was a resurgence. For you, suddenly there will be a resurgence. The Lord will restore you even to the glory that he has appointed for you from before the foundations of the earth in the mighty name of Jesus. A resurgence is simply a comeback. A comeback. It was like your life was depreciating and going down, and all of a sudden you get momentum again and you begin to run. It's like somebody that used to be very fervent for the Lord. You used to be very prayerful. In fact, there is no day that goes by that you do not witness to a person. And all of a sudden, all of that has gone cold. What I'm saying to you this morning is that as the Lord lives, God will restore that passion. God will revive you in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm tired of hearing the stories of people that say, oh, I remember back in Africa, how I used to this, how I used to that. Hello, we are no longer in Africa. This is the United States of America. Whatever you were able to accomplish then, pray the Lord to help you to accomplish the same or much more, even right now where you are. It is not enough to talk about past glory. It is all about what are you doing now. If Jesus comes right now, what will he say about you? What will he say about me? Amen. The Lord will restore us. The Lord will restore us. I'm talking about keys to resurgence. We kind of started talking about it already with the life of Joseph. But I'm just going to browse through that very quickly and we'll move on to today's discussion. Listen to me. When you look at the life of Joseph, so Joseph had these wonderful, fantastic dreams, right? And he was hopeful. He was excited about this dream. Hence, he shared the dream with his brothers, with his father, because he was excited about the dream. He was hopeful that that dream will come to realization. Have you ever dreamt that you are excited about the dream? Amen? Not the dream of finding money, you know, somebody puts money in your backyard. Those kind of dreams, I don't know. In fact, some people say when you dream and see money, it's the opposite. It means there's something about money that is not going to be pleasant. Amen. But that's not what I'm talking about. You have a dream, and it's like this dream is so vivid. It's like you can touch it, you can feel it. That was what the dream was like for Joseph. And Joseph believed God. He trusted God that that dream was going to come to pass. And that's the way many of us were maybe some 10, 15, 20 years ago. You had such great dreams that nobody could convince you otherwise. But suddenly, instead of his dream progressing, Joseph found himself in the pit. In the pit, Joseph did not despair. He trusted God. From the pit, he became a slave and he landed in the house of Potiphar. And the Bible says, while he was in the house of Potiphar, God was with him. And God caused to prosper everything he did. What does that tell you? It means Joseph remained committed and faithful to God despite his situation. You know, many of us, when things go south or situation turns sour, the first thing that goes out the window is God. You know, say, ah, bro, we've not seen you in church. He said, ah, leave that one right now. I need to go sort my life first. How do you sort it without God? The first thing that goes out the window is fellowship. You don't read the Bible anymore. You don't pray anymore. And you are seeking human solutions. You go figure how well has that helped? How well has that worked? But that was not Joseph. Joseph remained faithful to God. The number one key is to keep faith in God and keep faith with God. That's the number one key. Regardless of what life has thrown at you or what life is throwing at you, keep faith with who? Please say it loud. Keep faith with God. The Bible says God was with him in Potiphar's house, but the fact that God was with him did not prevent a situation from going worse. Because Potiphar's wife cast her eyes on him, and day by day, can you imagine? Pressure. Day by day. You can't run anywhere. Day by day, she was telling him, lie with me. Lie with me. She showed cleavage. It didn't work. She shook her booty. It didn't work. It didn't work. Everything she could do, she did. But it wouldn't work for this guy until she attempted to rape him. And the guy took off. The Bible says, flee fornication. It didn't say discuss it. When she grabbed his garment, he realized that matters are getting out of hand. What did he do? He left the garment for her and took off running. You know, some people today will say, you know, and God, you see me, I've resisted and resisted. Now she has cut my garment. Let me just give her what she wants so she can leave me alone. You're playing with fire. So the number one key to revival, if God is going to revive us, if there's going to be a resurgence of his power and his grace in our lives, the number one thing that must happen is we must keep faith with God. We must keep faith with God. And the number two thing is what we'll be talking about today. I will take our text from Luke chapter 15, from verse 11 to 24. A very familiar story. I'll just read through very quickly. Luke chapter 15, 11 through 24. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Friends, the first thing you must note here, it doesn't matter how much God blesses you, if you leave his presence, because the father here is a type of God. Amen? The father is a type of God. He got his possession and he said, I don't need you anymore. There are many people today, the reason they have not committed certain sin is because they cannot afford it. They don't have the money. If God blesses you with money today, you will commit, not you, those kind of people, they will commit exotic sins. You know, all this surface, superficial sin that we're telling you, that will jump out the window. It will be exotic sins. But that will not be your portion in Jesus' name. He lost all, he wasted all with prodigal living. But when he has spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land. And believe me, famines will always come. Famine, it will always, is a guarantee. There will always be a time that it seems like things are drying up. Always. And if you are not with God, you will have to find your way back to God. Life is going to be difficult, but not for you, because you will not be like that. In the name of Jesus. So a famine came in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he will gladly fill his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. And no one gave him anything. You know, the reason I'm going over it verse by verse is because we will not come back and dwell on this. We'll just dive into the message proper. Listen to this. If you know anything about Jews and Israelites, pigs, swine, was one of those animals that they cannot touch. When problem came, working with swine was not a problem for him. When you have compromised your faith, nothing will seem a problem to you any longer. Why? Because you are no longer with God. He walked with swine and he was so hungry, he wanted to eat pig food. Not only do Jews do not touch pigs, they don't eat pig. This time, he's not even talking about eating pig. He's talking about eating pig food. And nobody gave to him. Friends, a life without Christ is a life in crisis. It may seem like, oh, things are going well, you know, no problem, no problem. But keep on living. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise. Somebody say, I will arise. My prayer for you is that you will arise. Say, I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. You know, the problem with a lot of people is he's not making decisions, he's acting on decisions that is a problem for many people. How many decisions have you made and follow through with? Think about it. He made a decision. He said, I will arise. I will go back to my father, and this is the plan. I will confess my sins. I will repent of my sins. And I will say, I've done terrible things. I don't even deserve to be your son anymore. Just make me one of your servants. And the Bible says, in the next verse, he arose. So it was not talk. He was not just talking the talk. He was walking the walk. God will help me. Okay. So he arose and he went to the father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, say, Father, I have sinned against heaven. This is repentance. And in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe. We're talking about garment, a new garment. In Corpus Christi yesterday, may God give you a new garment, a garment of honor. He came as a servant, but the father received him as a son. When you come back to God, if you are sincere, genuine repentance will always lead to acceptance by God. He came sincerely and God, the Father, received him and gave him a new robe and put it on him and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. That verse alone is a sermon by itself. And bring the fatted calf here and bring the fatted calf here and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this, my son was dead and is alive again. He's talking about a resurrection, a revival, a restoration, a resurgence. My son that was dead, God has brought back to life. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in the name of Jesus. The number two key to resurgence that I want to talk about is returning to God. Returning to God. Returning to a synonym, if you just want to use one word to capture it, will be repentance. It will be repentance. There is a there's a greatly anticipated move of God in this end times. The Bible says in Joel chapter 2 verse 28, and say, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream. And it goes on and on and on. But listen to this. It says, afterward, you have to be, when you are reading scripture, pay attention to the words. He said, it came to pass afterward. It means some things had happened prior to this. Go read it when you get home. Prior to this, God himself had brought a famine upon them. He raised an army against them to deal with them. But afterward, he had mercy on them, and they repented. I want to assure you today, if man will genuinely repent, if man will genuinely come to God in sincere repentance, God will accept you. And he will do for you more than you have ever imagined before. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So before these things happen, you see in Joel chapter 2, 12 and 13, the Bible says, now therefore says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart. With fasting and weeping and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garment. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. God was saying to them, he said, if you turn to me, if you turn to me, if you turn to me, I will accept you. And he says, don't rend your garment, rend your heart. What that simply means, you see, back in the day, the Israelites, when they are mourning, when something terrible happens and they want to express sorrow, the first thing they do is they rip their garment. They rip their garment. God said, you have torn enough clothes. That's okay. That's okay. Don't rip your garment. Rend your heart. Rend your heart. Let your heart be contrite. Let your heart be broken before me. Too many hearts are hard before the Lord. Hard. Water cannot penetrate. And the Bible describes the word of God as water. So the prayer you must pray for yourself is, oh Lord, soften my heart. Give me a new heart. Give me a heart of flesh for the heart of stone. In this day and age wherein we live, many hearts are not receptive to the word of God anymore. Even in the church. In the church, for majority is religion. You just cannot imagine yourself anywhere else on Sunday morning. What can I possibly be doing at home? God forbid, bad thing. But you notice, when you roll it like this, you can bring it right back. Say, God forbid. You move forward, you catch it. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. But God said, rend your heart. Rend your heart. Rend your heart. The word of prophecy the Lord gave us for this year, he says this year he will give us an anointing for distinction. Yes? That's what he said. There will be an anointing for distinction. And there will be a resurgence of power and of grace. Before all of this or any of this can happen, certain things need to happen. When you look at that word of prophecy, it sounds like an exciting one, but really it's a rebuke. It's a rebuke. If the Lord is saying there's going to be a resurge, if he's saying I'm going to restore, he's telling you effectively that some things have stopped in your life. If there's going to be a spiritual revival in your life, he's telling you that I'm going to revive you because you are dead spiritually. If he's going to restore you, he's saying you have lost those things, but I'm going to give them back to you. So when you look at it on the surface, it sounds, oh wow, a resurgence of power and grace. Yeah. But he's saying, you've lost it. You've lost it. Acknowledge that you lost it, and let's begin to walk our way back. We're talking about keys to resurgence today. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, and please listen close. If the Bible you are holding is yours, you can underline the first word there. Isaiah 53 verse 6, it says, all we, all of us, all we, like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, that is on our Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Listen, God has redeemed us from the curse of the law through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. But many have gone backsliding. Proverbs 14:14. It says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. But a good man will be satisfied from above. Listen to me. How do I know whether or not I'm a backslider? Just read that scripture. Say, a backslide, the backslider in his heart shall be filled with his own ways. So the question I must ask myself, because that resurgence must happen. Okay, it will happen for you as you say amen. It must happen. But before it happens, they say the backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. Check yourself. Stop for a moment. Forget everything. Forget about me. Don't just assume I'm not here. And think about yourself. Think about your plans. The plans and the things you're doing, are they your ways or the ways of the Lord? That thing you are pursuing right now, is that what God has instructed you, or is that what you desire to do? Think about it. It is my experience, listen to this, it's my experience that most people don't think anymore. Where for 95% of the time, we're in autopilot. You know, how many of you think about driving when you want to drive? I don't. It's just second nature. I just, boom, is when there's a problem, that's when you begin to think. So how come it's not starting? When I crank you, you're supposed to start. In fact, they don't even crank these days anymore. Start. That's what you are supposed to do. But generally, we don't. We don't think. We don't think about these things anymore. We don't think about pretty much a lot of things anymore. How many of us sit down to think and say, what was the plan for my life before? What is the plan for my life now? Where is my life headed? He said, the backslider, his heart is filled with his own ways, his own things, his own agenda. Not God's agenda, not God's plan, not God's ways, but his own ways. His own ways. The Bible says, all have sinned and are fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Jeremiah 17:9. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's a big question mark. But the Lord will help us. The Lord will help us. Let's dive into it very quickly because time is not my friend as it is. Listen to this. How do I return to God? Number one way to return to God. Listen closely to me. Because God is making a clear call to you and I. His arms are open wide. His arms are open wide. He's beckoning unto us. He's beckoning unto us. Jesus already came and died. There is no other sacrifice that can be made. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:26, he said there is no other sacrifice that can be made than that which is already made. The arms of God are wide open and is calling us as sons and as daughters, is calling us to come home. It's calling us to come home. You know, many of us, listen to this. I'm a parent, and most of the parents here will identify with this. As a parent, my children don't need to come through Yasmin to talk to me. They don't need to come through anybody at that. To talk to me. I don't care who the person is. They don't even need to come through my mom to talk to me. When they want to talk to me, they come to me and talk to me. So if you are a child of God, why do you wait for a prophet to talk to God for you? It's a sign of backsliding. Why do you need the pastor to be the one? Unless you come to church on Sunday and pastor preaches, you don't know anything about God. And sadly enough, for some people, the moment they walk out the door, they forgot what they learned. The number one way to return to God is to search out and examine our ways. Search your ways. Search your life. Search the things you do. Search the important things to you. Friends, believe me, everything you see, if you can see it, it will be consumed by fire. In the sweet by and by. Everything. All the houses, all the cars, everything. Remember the flood of Noah. They did not believe Noah. But he kept building the ark. For over 100 years, he was building that ark. And nobody believed him. At the end of 120 years about, only Noah and his family entered that boat. The rest of the world was destroyed. It's the same way people are mocking and jesting right now. Fire will consume everything. All the clothes, all the, every fire will consume it. Fire. The things that we've spent so much time worrying about. Fire. Look at your neighbor, say fire. Say it like you mean, say fire. Fire will consume it. Consume it. Fire will consume it. Search out and examine your ways and realize that you are already estranged from God. You know, some people have become distant from God and they have gotten used to it. It's a dangerous place to be. I've been there before. Very dangerous place to be. My prayer the entire time was, Lord, pull me closer. Wake me up. Wake me up. It's like a trance. It's like you are in a trance. When you are separated from God, you don't fellowship with him anymore. You read the Bible, it makes no sense, and you were used to be excited about it. Something died, and you didn't know it. Something died. Somewhere in between, something happened, and you didn't realize it. You have to pray and say, Father, wake me up. Wake me up. Wake me. Why don't you bow your head for a minute and just say that prayer? Say, Lord, wake me up. Or wake me up to your reality. Wake me up to your reality. I've been overwhelmed with bills. I've been overwhelmed with stuff. Lord, wake me up. Wake me up to the reality of God. In the name of Jesus. Wake me up, oh Lord. Wake me up. Wake me up, Lord. Wake me up, Lord. Wake me up. Revive me again in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Lamentations of Jeremiah 3:40. Lamentations 3:40 says, let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Let's examine our ways and let's come back to him, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let us come back to him. Let us come back to him. In 2 Samuel chapter 24 verse 10, 2 Samuel chapter 24 verse 10, the Bible says, and David's heart condemned him after he had numbered the people. Let me ask you this. When was the last time that your heart condemned you about something you have done? When? Do you know some people, they wake up from the bed of fornication, they take a bath and they come to church? No fear, nothing condemning. And if you say anything about it, say you are judging me. How come you are not able to judge yourself? Do you not know that fornication is sin? Do you not know adultery is sin? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please pull it up for me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I believe the third verse. He said, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication or sexual immorality. He said, this is the will of God. This right here is the will of God. Your sanctification, your separation, sanctification, to sanctify is to set apart. He said, the will of God for you is that you are set apart and that you abstain from sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is pervasive in church. Unfortunately, it's not written on anybody's forehead. It doesn't say, fornicator. It doesn't say anything. Everybody just comes, I will lift him up. If nobody will lift him up, I will. And we all get excited. But can I tell you something? If you think in your heart that, oh, this pastor is not spiritual because he doesn't know what I have just done, you have believed a lie from the pit of hell. Because every man will stand and answer for himself before the throne of God. Amen? And I will be able to stand before God to say, I told them. I told the church. I did not hold back. I did not sugarcoat it. I told them the truth. What you do with the truth is your responsibility. I'm not responsible with what you do with the truth. I'm not. You are. My responsibility as the pastor is to tell you the truth. David's heart condemned him after he had numbered the people in disobedience and defiance to God. So David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now I pray, O Lord, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. I have done foolishly. Number two, we're talking about returning to God. Returning to God. Number one is what? Search your ways. And examine your ways. Number two, acknowledge your sins. So when you search your ways and you find things untoward, acknowledge your sin. Don't call it another name. You know, some people say, oh, you stole. He said, no, I just took it. I will pay it back. No, you stole. Say, I stole a pen from my job. It's called purloining. It's an old English word. It's in the Bible, purloin, to purloin. Purloining is where you work at a job, you know, so you take gauze, maybe you are a nurse, you take gauze, you take alcohol pad, you take Band-Aid. It's everything is going to waste. I just take it home. That's purloining. It's called stealing. Because you didn't pay for it. It's stealing. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't give it another name. You know, don't call sin challenges. Say, I have some challenges. No. Say, I am sinning. Acknowledge your sin. So, I have some challenges. What do you mean by challenges? Oh, I have some issues. What is issue? What issue? Say, I'm living in sin. I need deliverance from sin. Call it by his name. My pastors were embarrassed many years ago when the first time I went to report myself what I'd been doing. I was in the choir and I was living in sin. You know, first time they said, okay, people make mistakes. So they prayed with me. Said, don't do that again. And then they began to mentor me one-on-one. Then I brought back another bomber to them. They all just dropped their head. They just dropped their... I was not calling it a challenge or an issue. I told them as it was. They dropped their head and the look on their faces, why don't you just keep these things to yourself? Why do you have to get us involved in all of this? We have told you the truth. You are responsible. They just look. It's okay, Brother Kuyi. Why? I realized the Bible says, he that covereth his sin, he that comes, he will not prosper. That sin will destroy him. That sin will destroy her. You can call it enjoying life. Call it whatever you want to call it. Before God, it is a sin. And a sin is what? Is a sin. And it is what? It is a sin. Psalm 51 verse 3. This is David, after his sin with Bathsheba. Say, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. My sin is always before me. Even Saul in 1 Samuel 15, 24 and 25, Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned and I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words. These people fessed up to their sins. Don't call it an issue. A sin, it is a sin. Say, I have what? Say it louder. Say it a bit louder. Call it what? Call it by his name. I have sinned. They didn't say, you know, I made a mistake. Oh, somebody is caught in fornication. He says it's a mistake. Which part of it was mistaken for you? that he got caught. That's right. Which part of it is a mistake? When you were calling and making arrangements and meeting in the room and you were, the devil just yanked. No, the devil ripped your clothes. Which part of it was a mistake? You got there, you seduced yourself, you began to take off clothes, and you say, which part of it is mistake? That's the part. Or somebody say, I fell. How do you fall into sexual sin? You fell. Who was holding your leg that you fell? You say, I fell. The Lord will help us. Maybe I'm old school. I don't get it when people say they fell into sexual. You can't fall into sexual sin. You walk into it with your eyes wide open, your brain thinking, you are processing very well, and you determine what you want to do, and you do it. So just come back and say, I have sinned. You say what? Preach. Thank you. At least I have encouragement in this corner. Praise the Lord. Listen, brethren, I'm out of time, and I need to wrap up very quickly now. Listen. For a young adult, I beseech you by the mercies of God. It was Mahatma Gandhi of India that said he would have been a Christian if he had not met a Christian. It means the Christians he met, their lives were not deserving of his conversion. People are watching us. I've told the story before. I went to a store, you know, there's these chips I loved back in the day, Sun Harvest. You know, I would leave my work. I go to this gas station. That's all I buy. I just buy the chips. I go. One day, as I was making a payment, the cashier said to me, she said, sir, can I tell you something? I said, yeah, shoot. She said, I've noticed every time you come in here, there's an aura about you. I didn't realize she was looking at me any intently. I just go there, I grab my chips because I have to run back to work, and I pay and I leave. But she was observing me, but I didn't know it. There are many people observing you that you are not aware of. Live a life that honors and glorifies God. Not a life that will make people wonder, what is all this Christianity thing all about? I told you, those people are lying. And that's their conclusion at the end of the day. The Lord will help us. The number one step is what? Search your ways. Number two? Number three, if you search your ways intently and honestly, amen, and you discover your sins and you acknowledge your sins, I can tell you without a doubt that the next step, the thing that will happen to you, is godly sorrow. Godly sorrow. And that's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 9 and 10, listen, the key to genuine repentance is godly sorrow. Where godly sorrow is absent, any repentance is just mouth repentance. A repentance that cuts deep to the heart and is going to transform a life is always accompanied by godly sorrow. But a heart that is a heart of stone cannot be broken by God. Cannot be broken by anyone. In fact, you try to break it, you just shatter it. I read, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. You know what that simply means? This is one of the reasons why people commit suicide. It's some kind of sorrow they are feeling, but it's not a godly sorrow. They say, I cannot even live with myself anymore. I can't live with myself anymore. So they kill themselves. You know, but that does not solve any problem because they just got an express ticket to hellfire. Suicide is express ticket to hellfire. But godly sorrow will lead to repentance. Amen? Godly sorrow will lead to repentance. Ezra chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. The book of Ezra was written at the time that the people were liberated from the Babylonian captivity by Cyrus the king, the Persian king. When they got back home, even the Levites were living a terrible life. And this is what the priest said concerning that situation. At the evening sacrifice, I arose from my fasting, and having turned my garment and my robe, I fell on my knees and spread out my hands to the Lord my God. And I said, "Oh my God, I am too ashamed and humiliated to lift up my face to you. My God, for our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has grown up to the heavens." This guy was not talking about himself. He looked at his people and he went to God in prayer. You can tell this is an intercessor. He was interceding on the behalf of the people. He said, "Lord, I am ashamed for us. I am ashamed of the church because of the way we live, the way we carry on. We live in sin as if God does not care." God cares about sin. He cares. He cares. We don't talk about sin in church anymore because you want the people to keep coming. Just keep them happy. Keep them happy. Whether they go to heaven, they go to hell, it doesn't matter. At least we have a large church here on earth. Friends, God is still mad about sin. Ezra said, "I was ashamed. I was ashamed. I hid my face from the Lord. I could not lift up my head to look at the Lord." Why? Because of the sin of the people. Because of the sin of the people. I want us to rise to our feet. I'm by no means done, but the Lord will help us. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Please, this is between you and God. Don't observe to see what somebody will think of you. Please keep it personal, keep it private. Just bow your head. Bow your head and talk to the Lord. Say, "Break me, Lord. Break me, mold me." Fill my cup, O Lord. If there's any sin you need to repent of, please settle with God. Nobody is guaranteed anything. I'd love to be around tomorrow, but only God knows. The time, He sets the time. He sets the time. He sets the time. You don't know, I don't know. Yes, we pray for long life. That is good. But only He knows. Only He knows. Would you ask the Lord this morning to have mercy on you? Say, "Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy, Jehovah. Have mercy, King of Kings. Have mercy, O Lord." Hosea 6:1 says, "Come and let us return to the Lord, for He has torn, but He will heal us. If we return to Him, He will heal us. Say, He has stricken us, but He will bind us up." He will bind us up, but you have to first return to Him. For there to be a resurgence, you must return. And how do you return? Search your ways. Acknowledge your sins. Acknowledge your sins. Express godly sorrow and repent of all your ways. And then the Lord will accept you. He will heal you. He will bind you. He will bind me. He will bind every broken heart in the name of Jesus. Jeremiah 24 verse 7 says, "Then I will give them a heart to know me." Why don't you pray this morning? Say, "Father, give me a heart to know you. Jeremiah 24:7. Thank you. Give me a heart to know you, that I may know you, Lord. That I may know you, Lord. Enough of playing church. Enough of playing church. Church is not for entertainment. Praise and worship is not an entertainment session. Church is not about entertainment. It's about worship. It's about worship. It's about worship. It says, your sin has separated you from me as far as the earth is from the heavens. How do you worship the one that you are separated from? Say, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. I let it all hang out this morning. I laid bare before you. Help me, Lord. 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 Touch my heart, O God. Touch my heart, O Lord. Touch my heart, O Lord. Oh, touch my heart, O Lord. Touch my heart. Give me a heart that knows you, a heart that yearns, a heart that hungers for you, a heart that seeks to know you, oh Lord. Give me, oh Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. Ask that the Lord will deliver you from you. Say, the Lord, deliver me from myself. Deliver me from myself, that I may serve you, that I may love you, that I may know you, Lord. That I may know you, Lord. Help me. Help me, King of Glory. Help me, Master. Help me, Jehovah. Help me, Mighty God. Help me. Help me. Help me. Ask for his help. He says he will heal us. He will heal us if we cry unto him. He will heal us. He will bind us up. He will bind us up. He will restore us. He will revive us. It will cause there to be a resurgence of his life, a resurgence of his spirit, a resurgence of hope. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. Help me, King of Glory.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.